The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Oh, actually, I heard from Colin last night. Holy shit. Colin texted me.
I saw Colin on Friday, and he gave me like a very intense kiss on both cheeks.
Face cheek and bum cheek.
So 8:31 p.m. at night, I receive a text from Colin Mather or Jeffrey. It's images. The first image is this.
Oh my gosh.
What is
that?
Oh,
a man in who corn. May or may not be. Is that the guy? Who's that handsome man who was Superman? The big jaw man? Henry Cavill.
Oh, I thought it was
Jimmy
Jackson.
Might be Henry Cavill?
It's not.
Or is it AI?
Is he in candy corn or corn kernel? It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell, to be honest. And in the next one, giving
that's
a heaps
racy.
On a corn cob.
Unconventional just, method.
He's a corny. And that was the whole message.
That's lovely.
Did he stumble across those images and think, must send them to Alex, or did he search for those images? That's the big question.
Did he generate them himself? You know, there is a possibility where he is working with AI.
Big AI.
We just don't know. But it's a great life that I've got.
Kia ora. Welcome to what is like the final Real Pod proper? Like regular pod before we do the big farewell live stream, which we know is just going to be what it is. Who knows what that is?
Penultimate.
This is the penultimate.
I love penultimate.
Okay. Kia ora, I'm Jane. I'm joined by Duncan Grieve and Alex Casey. Welcome to it.
Kia ora, Jane.
We've just heard about Colin Mather and Jeffrey sending lovely pics to Alex. We're all a little bit in a weird spot for obvious reasons. But we're going to plough on and pod regardless because there is an MKR final to discuss.
And it was yum.
It was
I've
real
once again
yum.
Crammed in watching it and I haven't eaten enough.
I know.
I could go a linguine right now.
I could go all the things. I could go all the except for the pâté. I'm not a pâté gal.
I don't like duck and I don't like octopus, but we'll get to that.
Okay, we'll get to that. Should we do some real news first? The realist of news is that this is the second to last episode of The Real Pod ever. We are going to be holding a live stream at midday tomorrow. We invite you to come along. There's a link. Well, just go to our Spinoff YouTube channel and then you'll find it there. Midday tomorrow, it's a date. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, midday today. If it's after midday, you've missed it. But you can go back and watch it. But we encourage you to join us and ask some questions. Do a bit of an AMA.
We'd like that.
We would like that a lot.
I'm worried if we go live, you know the stuff we have to cut out of this podcast week to week. You know the files that Samuel is sitting on.
That's true, but on the other hand...
What are they going to do?
They can't cancel us. We've cancelled ourselves.
That's right, we have literally nothing else to lose now.
I mean, it's not like we're going to do some crazy Benny Hill blue pod.
Oh.
Contemporary reference. But we're going to leave it all on the floor and there will be no forever after. So, it'll just be an object existing in the world and there's no past or there's a past but there's no future, so it's fine.
Wow, that sounds real intense. I mean, I think it's going to either be the best pod we've ever done or the worst pod we've ever done, but either way, it's going to
be
significant.
It'll be both.
It could be both. It's a duality in this world, you know?
It's interesting that we are ending our podcast the same week that also the Project New Zealand is ending. you know, leaving a huge gaping hole in the sort of funny news area.
That's a great point. I mean, obviously the relative scale of these two operations.
Exactly on par.
We do not need to discuss the scales.
But
you know?
I do think there is, if I may be forgiven, a little tangential serious moment. Yeah, buckle up. It is very end of the monoculture. Like, that's what the RealPod and the project were built on, was like, here is a way of wrapping a whole bunch of things which are happening in the world in a sort of news and culture, pop culture-y space, and getting together and discussing them. And as there are fewer and fewer of those sort of shared moments, the places that discuss them kind of feel like they're grabbing at things which are sort of disappearing in front of them. And as I've been reflecting over the last few weeks about the end of the RealPod and thinking about why, part, you know, all the various things that have fed into that, one of them I think undeniably is the sense that these reality TV shows, which are the sort of the core business of us, they don't grip the same number of people in the same way anymore, and that changes the feeling of doing the podcast. The community is still there, but it just doesn't have this like, oh, this show's going to be enormous and grip the country, and therefore the podcast will feed off that. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's a fragmented audience, right? Is that a good way of...
Well, yeah, that's a much more succinct way of putting it.
Thank you.
But you know, that's not really my specialty.
If you could just keep your fold hat on for a moment, I want to know what reality TV was promised in the upfronts.
Okay, so the big thing was they just went heavy on property because, as our good friend and colleague Bernard Hickey famously puts it, New Zealand is a nothing if not a property market with some bits tacked on. So there is a New Zealand version of Love It or List It, which I'm very excited about. I love that format. And also the host of the iconic English version of that, Phil Spencer, one of the co-hosts, is coming down to do, yes, Extremely Jane, to do a show which I think sounds quite obnoxious, called New Zealand's Most Lovely Houses or something, which is basically about some real flash houses, sort of like Grand Designs but without any of the work. And there are some, there's like New Zealand's Most Sustainable Home or some kind of slow.
My Dream Green Home.
That is just not going to be watched by anyone. I'm sorry.
But I mean all of the, I love property shows too. I mean, you and I have a certain generation, I suppose, and we both have crushes on Phil and Kirsty from Location, Location, Location. But look, it's not great recap stuff.
No. I've always struggled with the Block as well.
The Block, and I mean, if we, I know MKR, they've shot a new season as well.
And CTI is coming back. There were rumours.
I've heard the rumours.
That it wasn't going to, but it is returning. I think Bake Off is back as well, but it doesn't feel.
Yeah, because they held it. Bake Off was going to run this year, yeah. Remember, and they've just pushed it. So it's
all still weird, and I think there's. What we're lacking, what that CTI has, is that kind of the silliness, you know, to our reality lineup to come. And
yeah, or the romance. I mean, we're getting Maths NZ back again next year on,
that's
on
true.
Three.
Maybe we shouldn't shut down, you know? Actually, there's a few things there.
Well, there's certainly enough to talk about. I think there's just not enough of us to do the talking.
That's true.
There's a lot banking on Maths, I feel like. I feel like that is the last test of reality romance in particular. Like, can we do it? Can people watch it? Can they do it and not fuck it up and not invite some, like, horrible man
I'll tell you what,
onto the scene?
I've been rewatching. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, rewatching Real Housewives of Auckland. And fuck, that was a banger to be able to recap. Like, it really was, I mean, you know, full of problems. But boy, oh boy, it is a comedy show from start to finish.
Yeah, that was probably, like, if you were to pick, well, we should probably save this for Wednesday, actually. But... Yeah, we should talk about our favourite shows.
Okay.
Then
let's do
that. I've got one in mind. There's no, it could be anything. Could be what Jane just talked about. Maybe I'll say something different. Who knows if I'll even be alive.
I've actually written down a different idea, so I look forward to that.
Yay, it's very exciting. Okay, look, we need to discuss this, Alex, please. Vanda, you had... I do not know how you do this. You're not even in Auckland anymore, where arguably most of the celebs are, and you're having just as many celeb sightings as you always have.
I got a magnet. No, I went to the Naomi Marsh Crime Writing Awards in Christchurch on Friday night. You know me, a literary type. I'm on the scene.
She
I'm
goes out,
out
though. That is actually a big part of where she collects these. Then they don't come to her living room.
But I, any time I go out, and I saw Guy Williams at the cafe the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. But
it counts.
It kind of counts, except for it's like he's always there.
He does work around the corner. It's kind of it's almost more noteworthy if you go out and you don't see Guy Williams at this point.
Okay. Anyway, back to Darth Vader, because that's a huge get. Huge get.
Yeah, and like a cool sort of niche but also massive get, you know. She's a crime writer, obviously. That was why she was cast on The Traitors. So she was actually hosting the awards, which were a hybrid kind of quiz awards night. And she was just fantastic. But before that, she was just sort of milling about and I was like, I'm pouncing, here I go. Walked up and I was like, hello, Vanda, like way too friendly, way too high-pitched. And she looked scared and I was like, I'm just a huge fan of, and I realized, given the context of where we were, that she, like, I was going to say, of your writing. But I went, I'm a huge fan of your being in The Traitors, NZ.
Huge fan of you being cast. Not necessarily a performance.
No, the performance was good.
The performance was good.
She looks scared and she said, what's your name? Calling the police. And I told her that my name's Alex and that I covered the show for the spin-off and we did a podcast. She didn't look overly like she knew what I was saying at any point.
Just a quick interjection. Do you feel like it's cooler and funnier and more real pod when they have no idea what any of the things that you've said are, or when they're like
it.
Big fans? I'm a huge
it's so much better
fan
when
of the big
know.
Humiliation.
Yeah. But then it's also you're putting them on a journey of discovery, you know? Like she can go and relive. Well, soon. We'll talk about it off. Is the Substack stuff going to stay up?
It's going to stay
up. Sandra wants to go back and listen to The Traitors.
We're also putting it all backdating it into the feed so it'll be free for all. That's our lasting gift there. You can go back and enjoy The Traitors and MKR regals.
That's how we'd like to be remembered.
Vanda was very nice. I tried to get her to talk shit about anybody and she wouldn't. She said it was all exactly as you saw it. Paul Henry never dropped out of character the whole time. He was constantly just being sort of devilish.
I mean, I don't think that's a character. I think that is his character. It's just who he is.
And they really did get locked away alone every night with just, you know, a pen and paper. She did say there was quite a bit of drinking, which I'm sure is, you know, we kind of saw that.
Yeah.
We saw that on camera. But yeah, and then she was just a fantastic quizmaster. She was rocking a rubber chicken like you wouldn't believe.
What?
How?
Isn't that like crazy? Kind of like, I guess, her version of hands on heads, like getting attention. She would just sort of squeeze the rubber chicken whenever she.
I mean, that's
us.
Good stuff from Vanda.
It was just cool. Awesome. And how cool to just be like a prolific New Zealand crime writer and a television star. That's something we can all aspire to.
Wow, what happened? Why do we?
We just stopped. We're running out of puff.
Anyway, I had a great time.
I don't even think I left the house over the weekend, so that's my news. What about you, Dunko?
Oh, I did way too much. I did a phenomenal amount of gardening such that I fell asleep four separate times yesterday during the day, only twice during Candy Cane Lane, the premiere of the new Eddie Murphy Christmas movie.
But the other two times during MK, were you watching your MKR screeners?
One time was during that, and then another time was watching the National Basketball Association. I am bodily, like, absolutely broken right now.
What gardening were you doing?
Just the big wash. Yeah.
Wow.
Like the big mow, the big trim, the big four bins full.
That's basically the big wash as well, isn't it?
Exactly. A lot of ways.
Relatable.
And I also was like spent over an hour as the garbage man at Fair Fair Day at Newton Central School Centenary. Where I saw celebrities including Guy Mont, again, just too easy to collect that one. Jack Tame was there somewhere, but I did not see him. At Candy Cane Lane, I saw Greg Bruce, noted celebrity, canvas writer Greg Bruce, was given a lot of chalky, like the Whitaker's candy cane chocolate bars, which are freaking delicious.
Sorry, what?
They're like supposed to replicate the vibe of a candy cane in chocolate form, which is a...
Is it a white chocolate?
No, it's not. No. It's a mint chocolate, but with like little crispy little, you know, like little shards almost in it.
Okay. So you went to a celebrity event and got dazzled and given free things.
I did. Though, ultra small popcorn. And you could grab a drink, but I grabbed a full sugar Sprite and not a zero sugar Sprite and then and didn't drink it because that's what's wrong with me. While I'm also just eating like half a block of chocolate. But I had some good sleep, so pretty good.
I had some good sleep. I had some good naps over the weekend. God, this is why we got to stop.
This is it.
I mean.
Yeah, we're just done. I think I might be
so boring.
Ready for the big sleep, you know?
That's the fourth time in the last half an hour that you're like, I think I've got no life left. It's done. I'm out.
Tap out. Oh, so exhausting. Oh, my God. Exhausting.
Okay.
Sam, are you going to add some fun, Benny Hill music under this whole bit?
I tell you what, this will perk us up. We'll get into reality check and recap. MKR.
I am disgusted at how much you have copied my husband.
Reality check.
I mean, that's the best of us, isn't it? That's just, that is culture.
Paul Williams. What a minute. What a talent. Underrated part of why this show is good.
Has he been in touch since
Paul
hearing the
Williams
news?
Paul Williams does not know what the real pot is. He's one of the many.
God damn it. Okay, we are at the officers' mess in Devonport. It's finale week on MKR. It's a very big deal. The chefs are wearing their chefs. No, hang on. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
Are they wearing their chefs' whites at the officers' mess? No, that's it.
At the comedian lunch.
Not at the comedian lunch. No, that was for the French cafe.
Oh, I forgot about
that.
That was
just Hawaiian shit.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That comedian lunch had the same energy as this it day did. Right now.
Honestly, what?
It was.
Has there ever been so few jokes land with a big bunch of nominally funny people?
Okay, so this is Jess and Cindy versus Kurt and Matt for a position in the grand final. And we have comedians Joe Damon, Ruby Esther, Johnny Bruff, Jack Ansett, Liv McPherson, Nick Rado, Nick Gibb, or maybe...
I think Liv McKenzie?
Liv McKenzie. So look,
correct.
Also I think I might have put two Nicks in and one might not be a Nick. This and Brooke Rusko. I don't recognise some of these comedians so much.
I recognise quite a few of them. In fact, I saw Liv McKenzie very recently and she was so funny. I really liked her.
Liv McPherson, someone else entirely. I actually did a little telly thing with Liv McKenzie and I'm really sorry, Liv, so apologies.
What telly thing did you do?
Cubicle Confessions. You watched it, obviously.
You're on the toilet.
What's that?
Yeah, we're on the toilet. No, it's just a little TVNZ on
hell?
Demand plus web series thing.
Did you know about this, Duncan?
I did not, and I tend to know about things.
And it's a toilet show and you're only just telling us?
There was no actual toilets. I'm really destroying the mystery here. It was a set.
Oh, so it's like Jackass, the movie.
Talking to each other in a mirror. It's actually very similar to Jackass, the movie. So if that's your sort of thing, you'll love Cubicle Confessions.
I do like Jackass, the movie. I think it's funny.
Real funny.
Okay, so yeah, this was, yes, you're right. There were a lot of jokes attempted. I think we were maybe trying to, I don't want to tell comedians how to comede, but too much effort being put in to do some one-liners.
It was really weird, right? Like, there's a lot of funny people there, and I'm sure that they can all bring it when required, but there was something off about the vibe. And it is extremely like this podcast. It's kind of crazy. And it's also like, therefore, it's rich, very rich, like a duck breast pate or something, for us to be critiquing them. But these were if these were the best jokes... Because they probably got about 7 to 12 minutes, maybe.
Mm.
Imagine all of the other ones. can you possibly?
It was just crazy. And I think also they were not being generous with each other either. Like, no one was laughing for anybody. There was this fierce feeling of competition.
Yes.
And so, well, I kind of respected Johnny Bruff out of all of them for just being like, fuck it, I'm just going to take this insanely seriously and not make a single joke and get real into the menu.
No, he did do some jokes, though.
And he did, they yes.
absolutely tanked. Like, everyone's jokes sucked.
There were things,
but at
like,
least he actually offered some proper critiques instead of being like, I'm a baby. I don't know what beef is.
That was pretty much like if you fed all of the jokes and just said you've got to condense it down into one line, it was that joke.
Do you think these guys have been dreading this going to air? Because they must have felt it in the room at the time, you know?
I'm like, surprised some haven't just sort of taken the up country. New professions. And like I said, I like many of these comedians have been really funny.
Yeah.
In other contexts, it was just something wasn't right.
I think as well, if it was just, there was probably good conversation and probably funny stuff that just didn't apply to the show.
Too rude, maybe?
But probably just should have put it in, you know? Yeah. Do the comedians a favour, do the audience a favour and put in the entertaining stuff. Who cares if it's not about the food?
On the other hand, is it funnier that all the comedians came on and just didn't do a single good joke? Like, maybe that's funnier.
But they, you know, they got a nice meal.
Yeah,
I would hope they got paid.
They even had a wine. Like, it wasn't like they were just dry.
Yeah.
That's so crucial.
I mean, what will forever stick in my head was Jack Ansett's anecdote about how his mum has a photo of Manu or a cutout from a magazine stuck on the back of her toilet door. And so he just came out like real early on. We haven't even had our first course yet. And he's like, I've taken a shit looking at you. And I was just like, this is so full on. But then Manu kind of adding this weird like, and your mum was doing something else.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? No.
What was she doing?
No.
I mean, don't answer. That's rhetorical. But also, if the picture's in the toilet and mum's out, it doesn't even make sense. Doesn't it make sense?
I think it makes sense.
It's not a sexy room.
No, I know.
You know?
Okay, I thought he meant simultaneously. While you were doing the poo, mum was in another room doing something else.
Oh, but she can't see the lovely photograph.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it didn't make sense to me, but now I understand that I just got it wrong. That's fine.
This is such a great last sec penultimate episode.
Sorry, guys. Look, Jess and Cindy.
We're just reporting on what happened. Yeah,
Jess and Cindy served up some blackened blue cod on a red capsicum sauce. I've put like one line, like no more than three word, like summaries of each dish, okay? So I'm just going to cruise through that. Lacked an element. That's the review for that one. For their main, they served up honey soy pork belly with cauliflower puree and bok choy, which has auto-corrected to boo chop. By the way, in my doc.
You know what it did? It lacked an element.
It was also bit goopy. Yeah. Bit goopy all around.
Yeah.
For dessert, Earl Grey chocolate mousse tart. Yuck, hey Earl Grey, don't do that.
Yeah.
Too much tart was the review there from me.
Did she make a real questionable joke about that? Like,
who?
I thought she made a joke about Matt of Matt and Kirk fame and just like, now there's another big tart in the...
Oh, yeah,
they were loving
it. It was
that.
The Battle of the Tarts. Yeah. Battle of the Tarts.
And I was just like, is that okay?
Also, the saying that they were good with meat. Yeah. There was a good with meat joke. There was a lot of flirting between Colin and Jess.
It just felt like some classic 2005 banter.
<Yeah. laughs> There was a moment... I mean, we've already talked about this, but the judges are very handsy.
But they're actually
on the bare shoulders?
Yeah.
And I was like, if you're wearing a spaghetti strap, don't go near a woman.
But they're also
strap singlet.
More handsy with Jess than with Cindy and not handsy with the blokes.
So Nikki pulled me up on this because I was ranting and raving in a very similar style to you two yesterday. And she said, actually, not only was it were their hands on the blokes, but they were hands on like the sort of hippie butt kind of area, you know, that sort of liminal space between the two. So equal opportunity handsy. But the whole time is just, I don't know, maybe it's just sort of the chef-y thing. If you're a chef and you're listening, I mean, I'm sorry for so much, but get in touch really quickly because we've got no time.
There's no chefs. There are no people.
They might have been at the top of the episode, but they're definitely not anymore.
God, really bad.
At one point during the screening of this, I was yelling at my television, get hands off her. Just stop touching them.
Mm.
It was so much. Like, once you notice it, you really notice it.
Mm. Can you imagine being stressed, hot in a kitchen on a show like this, and then you've got hands on your bare shoulders. No. No.
Anyway, should we get on to Matt and Kurt's food?
Yep.
Okay, smoked kawai cream with Māori fried bread and pickled veg. Pretty yum.
Yep.
Fillet of beef kumara gratin. Sorry, fillet of beef, comma, kumara gratin, veg with blue cheese and peppercorn sauce. Not enough sauce.
Just going back to the fry bread, Joe Damon did comment accurately that it was like a flat bread that they'd fried, not. And I had lovely fry bread from the Newton Central Hangi on. It's like the yummest food.
It is the yummest food.
I just think it's fine to mess with things, but don't. I feel like I would feel very ripped off if I was expecting one thing and then that thing walked out, even if it was well executed.
I'd be very surprised if it walked out.
Well, you know, it's true. So that terrible joke was better than
good.
Any of the jokes.
That's good, yeah.
Okay, pear and almond tart with fromage blanc for dessert. Frangipani not perfect. That's my one-line review of that. But overall, pretty good. Also, man at one point said minta, which I haven't heard since the 1990s.
I've never heard that in my life.
Minta?
Yeah, it's minta. It's going to be minta.
Like Minter Ellis and Rudd Watts, the law firm.
Probably more like it's going to be mint, but minta. Like a munter.
More mint.
Interesting.
Oh. No, not more mint. Not more mint.
Just mint. Minta. That's
but minta. It's minta. It's also going to be great. Awesome.
Oh, so what do you mean the word mint you haven't used?
No, minta.
Minta, like as a subgroup or derivation.
As a derivation.
I've never heard that.
Okay. Well, you weren't around and perhaps the time you were still in England saying, jolly good, you know?
I was doing that. Crazy.
And you were probably not born, so.
I wasn't there.
Yeah. Okay. There was no crunch on the pork. There was the something was too soft. There was all the things, and at the end of the day, Matt and Kurt won.
Yep.
Congratulations. Jess and Cindy came back to try and win the competition. Didn't even make it to the final this time. Embarrassing for them.
Jess and Cindy, Jess particularly was quite. They talked about bittersweet, and she was increasingly just like
bitter.
Really, kind of quite unpleasant in a way that I really enjoyed from a TV perspective.
Yeah, there was a moment where Matt was getting really it's been so, it's our last time cooking together. It's been such a pleasure cooking with you guys. And she just wasn't having any of it.
You said C.
Fuck off.
She was even heckling in the final, right, from her seat, just like, I'm hungry. Hurry up. Just in the middle of this fancy restaurant.
Couldn't say because I watched the final 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, just fast forwarding through.
Oh, really? God. Well, I watched it all.
It's because I had a time pressure situation.
Okay, let's go.
I was in a pressure cooker.
Cusher.
Under pressure cooker.
And then I was clearly drunk.
Is that one of those talks that are people are always trying to give away tickets to on Slack?
Was that my computer that just made a sing song? Sorry. Okay, the French cafe. Just talked about it last week. Degustation. What are you doing? Stop it. Get a hold of yourself.
It was a good joke.
This is a good joke.
It was a good joke.
And it's also funny that it's happened probably once. But it stands. It really holds up.
Okay, so this was filmed over two nights. You've got a packed restaurant, four-course meal. You've got a mix of previous contestants, friends and fam. And four chefs whose name I didn't catch apart from Sid.
Sid Tarawa.
The main thing is they're all blokes. And no girls allowed at all apart from Vicky. You're the only one allowed anywhere, please.
But we've got two male judges and they're like, okay, we need four more judges. What should we look for? Four lads? It's six lads.
Guys,
it's crazy.
Men can't help it if men are better at everything than women.
I mean, that's true.
So, it's all the pool they had to pull from.
If we absent the fact that it's a complete diversity disaster, I really liked them as talent. they had good critiques. They were
They weren't overly mean, which I thought was nice, because I feel like you could sort of, I'm sure they could pull apart those meals more than they did. I think they were a nice mix of constructive criticism and credit where it's due kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of felt with Canoe and Mullen, as they're known, I don't trust them. Like, they're making a show, but these four have to live, work and eat in this town, and I feel like they can't say a thing that's terrible is good. And I think like they were sincerely impressed, and so that helped me kind of properly understand how good are these so-called, they're not called so-called master chefs.
Canoe and Mullen. Oh, I also liked how they were frequently like split down the middle on opinion, you know. It's like, it's food is subjective, it's creative, it's art, it's whatever you make it.
It was actually looked pretty yum. If you were to choose,
it did look good.
I'll quickly run through the menu. So Vicky and Pascal did grilled octopus, duck cherry and pate, vegetable cassoulet with salmon and bread, nectarine, tarty thing with marmalade, blah blah blah. And the other two,
Matt and Kurt.
Oh God, I haven't got it written down. Oh no, tuna, linguine, lamb with a fondant, potatoes, and panna cotta. If you were to look at those menus, which one would you choose?
Matt and Kurt's.
I mean, look, to be clear, like, I've never eaten an octopus and never will, but just on the basis of like, that's a way more hardcore, innovative, like. I'm curious, like, I sort of feel like I know what everything on Matt and Kurt's menu tastes like.
That's true.
I respect the hell out of Vicky and Pascal. And I would eat their menu in the same way that, like, sometimes I eat things which I think are going to be yuck, and they do turn out to be yuck for me because I want to, like, be challenged and, you know, rather than just have, like, a nice thing.
I just want the nice thing.
I wanted the nice thing, please. Thank you very much.
This is my problem in this world. I always get the wrong one.
The course three vegetable cassoulet. Putting the vegetable cassoulet as the first thing on the menu. I know there was salmon in there, but I don't want veggie cassoulet as a hero of my main dish. Thanks. I want meat.
Yeah.
You guys are vegetarian, so it's different. You know.
No, I'm not actually working vegetarian.
I feel a deep lust for cassoulet now.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's sort of like a stew with beans in it. But the way that Manu, especially I feel like when Manu talks about French food, it is just like crazy.
Yeah.
I just want to eat it so much. And then when he was so excited to find out that she had put the duck fat in it, and she, again, you know, maybe crossing a boundary, kissed her on the forehead, potentially.
Definitely crossing a boundary.
He was just so excited. But I was just like, cassoulet,
yeah.
Who are you? Okay. Where are you?
I think what would have happened if we'd all gone out and ordered the, you know, we had a set menu and I'd gotten Matt and Kurt's, I would have been like, yum, but I would have had a bit of food envy of yours, ultimately.
Yeah, I basically, like, Vicky and Pascal, right throughout the whole show, were, you know, the knock on Pascal was that he was overly critical. And because they cooked last, which again I think was really smart sequencing, there was a lot of like, who the hell is this guy? And then from the point they started cooking in the show, which was halfway through, you were just like, these guys are, they just built and built and built. And then by the end, you're like, these guys could and probably will open like a fine dining restaurant, and it probably will win a hat. Like, it seems like they're just legitimately really good. Every time they cook a dish, there's something I've literally never heard of, some technique they're using, and they always do some extra thing. But I think they might just genuinely be really freaking amazing household cooks.
They also don't stress out, and they don't make, when they make mistakes, they sort of manage to fix them. But it's just was never the same level of stress in their kitchens as in other people's. They did only cook, okay, so for this whole season, they only cooked four times.
It's still harder than the block.
The easiest path to 100K. The easiest path to 100K.
So this is it's not a commercial break, but it's a break. We're talking about a cooking show, and if you're listening to this,
I want to know what's eating Aotearoa.
That's what I want to know too, and I feel like we're about to shut down this beloved podcast and this beloved Substack. So if you're paying, you'll no longer be paying. We'd be so grateful if you took some proportion of that future income that you're saving by not having to listen to this and donated it to What's Eating Aotearoa as a project. I feel like we're all going to do cool things for it, and it's one of the things that is going to consume us next year in a way that this podcast has historically. And yeah, if you just go to thespinoff.co.nz/pledgeme and just have a look around, there's some cracking rewards. Some of them woefully overpriced and really just not moving. We're going to have to get Cyber Monday on the pricing of some of these.
Put it this way, if you're missing Duncan Grieve talking on mic on The Real Pod, here is an opportunity for you to put your money, quite a bit of it, where your mouth is, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, that's not going to sell, is it? Let's be honest. But there's really cool ones involving Alex and Tara that I think are still available at time of speaking. And
And Maddie Holden writing your dating profile.
No, that's sold out.
Is it sold out?
Sold out immediately.
As it should be.
Yes.
Toby Manhire will do a speech about anything.
That's still available. That should be sold out.
That actually, I don't think people realise just how good of a reward that is. If they did, it would have been snapped up by now. But yeah, there are rewards. You can actually sort of.
We should be able to pay for Duncan not to do a monopod. Like, I think that would be like a better public service. It's like when I feel the next feel the urge, I'll just be like, no, and then I'll just put up a little podcast saying I didn't do this thanks to, you know, Jerry from Lower Hutt.
Hey, just one quick question on the T's and C's of lunch with Duncan Grieve.
Yeah.
What were you eating?
So Matt and Kurt's. No.
Don't tell lies.
I don't know what we're eating. I haven't really paid much attention, but it'll be delicious and will be gift with purchase. Anyway, What's Eating Aotearoa? It's going to be a really, really cracking project and we'd love it if you would support it. Let's go back to the podcast.
Okay. By the way, Duncan Grieve, a raconteur, entrepreneur and media whiz.
I edited that out.
It's there.
Oh, Jesus Christ on a bike.
The whiz. Gary Freeman.
That's actually high praise. That's high great praise. Okay. What were the feedbacks on the foods? Octopus, chefs loved it, they'd pay for it. The duck was slightly over, needed some crunch on the plate. But had it come just next in the course of events, then it would have been fine.
They're like DJs who put the songs in the wrong order.
Yeah. Vegetable cassoulet, salmon and bread. Yum. Put the salmon other side up. Come on, guys.
That's
crunchy
so
skin.
Basic.
Idiots.
And the nectarine thing, yum. Everyone loved it. Loved it, loved it. That looked so yummy. And for Matt and Kurt, tuna, great. Everyone loved it. Looked very fancy.
Sensational. Those boys know their way around fish, don't they?
They really, really
do. Fishy boys.
The linguine divided the table a bit, but looked yum to me. Lamb with fondant potatoes. Whoops, the fondant wasn't a fondant. The herb crumb wasn't a crumb.
That was intentional, though, but the fondant not being a fondant seems like they just didn't know what a fondant was.
What is
like,
a fondant? What is a fondant?
What's a fondant?
Someone tell me what a fondant is.
Because fondant, there's so many, like there's the stuff, there's like Larissa's fondant, right, from the Real Pod Museum, which is, you know, cake icing. Then there's fondants, which are like those little molten lava cakes. They get called fondants. And then there's, what's potato fondant?
Sounds yummy.
I think they need
Samuel's got
fondant potatoes is a method of preparing potatoes that traditionally involve cutting them into cylinders, browning the ends, and then slowly roasting the potatoes in butter and stock.
That's what they did.
That sounds good.
Didn't they do that? I mean, they were in cylinders.
This was like a big, it was like a chunky.
It was like a rosti, a glorified rosti.
Was it not brownie on the top and bottom? Like, oh shit, that looks good though.
I'm such a hungry
boy.
Holy
shit, look at those ones in that skillet.
I gotta go. We gotta finish this podcast. Okay. I'm dying of food. What's the opposite of food? Hungry.
That's what it says on thesaurus.
What's the opposite of food?
Panna cotta, bit too sweet. Look, the announcement of the win, this was as much of a letdown as. Not the result, but like the way it was announced was just it's so flat.
Big announcement, yeah. And like one confetti cannon.
One confetti cannon just on the side of, so it only went over the winner. So, I mean, they must have presumed when they saw the intern standing there with the confetti cannon ready to go, it's the double announcement, isn't it?
It's the double announcement. Sam Brooks was there for it. He's written a behind-the-scenes account. They shot both. They shot both potential winners. So that's probably why the energy feels a bit weird in the confetti.
Why did they do that? So that no one would know?
Yeah.
Just to keep it, yeah.
People find out as it is. It's to ruin spoilers. To prevent spoilers.
So, like, Matt and Kurt are still like, because this was shot in the 90s. Okay. Like, this is so old.
Do you know what?
Medicare, long dead.
This is crazy. We saw screeners, and we are recording this on a Monday before putting it out on the Tuesday. We could ring them up and ruin it.
I want to get on the blower with the tab and put a bloody wager down. This is honestly crazy, though, that they don't know. It's so long, TVNZ.
Well, it's the same with The Apprentice. Remember we watched The Apprentice
and they
didn't know.
I'm surprised this wasn't part of the bloody coalition agreement that you end this sick practice.
MKR, they're famous for this. There was a lot of controversy about this in, like, the 2010s because there were a couple of teams who didn't quite realise that they hadn't won. And I don't even understand exactly how it works, but it's to prevent spoilers. But TVNZ sent us the screeners. There was like, it was just like every other week of screeners, you know, please don't, but there was no big special, like, week, like, God.
It's crazy power that we have.
We have the craziest power.
And also, is it like, I can maybe understand a while back, the 2010s perhaps, when like a reality TV winner was big news, but is it that?
I didn't think that they.
That's the thing I was talking about at the top.
Monoculture.
Because we got the screeners in such a just chill way, I thought they wouldn't have shot two endings. And so I'm surprised to hear that they did. But anyway, so it was a very lackluster kind of, oh, yeah. And then Minnow was like, how are you feeling? And Figgy's like, oh, good. That was it, pretty much. And then that was it. It was over. 5 weeks, wow. 10 episodes, just four cooks for Vicky and Pascal, and they are 10 grand richer. Could not be easier.
100
grand richer. Could not be easier. Could not be easier.
No, but see, I continued my spirited argument with literally everyone else on earth last night to Nikki, and she was like, because my thesis, and I still think it sounds like their techniques that they use to win that thing are so many and varied and refined. It's just a lot of work.
Yeah, but you can, I think to Alex's point, you can train up and do that like in your spare time. You go on the block and you are beholden to talent shows and to, you know, block dinner wars.
It's very
and
annoying.
Bullshit.
I accept that, but I think you can walk in. You can do like 3 months of training and get up to be sort of like quite a good blockaholic.
Mm.
But like for Vicky and Pascal, like, because the thing is, we're talking about as a standing start, we're talking about a member of the literal real pod, like a prize idiot.
Yeah, but you don't go in there as a prize idiot. You train.
That's what I'm saying. The training for a prize idiot to get up to beating Vicky and Pascal, because that is the baseline.
We could do it, Alex.
I reckon.
I think with a year we could do
it.
Immer, absolutely immersed.
Yeah.
So, in knife skills and blah de blah. I reckon we could get there.
We could really hone our blah de blah.
It's such a short shoot as well, you know, like that's what's beautiful
and
about it.
You can go back. You can do a Cindy
sleeps.
And Jess and go back.
Couple sleeps to the 100K. See you there.
This is why we've had to shut down the pod, actually, because this is the thing that's
divided
us.
Divided a podcast.
Oh, and that is our podcast.
Wow.
I can't believe it.
Can you believe it?
That's the last one.
I think it's good to do the worst one in history as the last.
Yeah.
It really probably shows you what you're not going to be missing, you know?
Well, it's good because people will be like, yeah, what's time? They actually had
you
it.
You could hear it.
You know, like a lot of comedies do one season, two or three seasons too many, especially network comedies. I feel like that's sort of our... We're very broad, do you know what I mean? And it's finished.
Oh, man, it's so grim.
Crazy.
I'm
this
sorry.
Is crazy.
It's actually not finished because we've got the live stream tomorrow today. It depends on when you're listening. Please join us for it. We promise that it's going to be slightly more exciting than the confetti cannon.
We'll all be
cannon.
In the same room
that's,
as well.
That's true.
Massive.
That's going to be the best bit.
Well, we're going to get a confetti
cannon. Is there
cannon
a confetti
for the
cannon?
End?
Is anyone, could anyone
we could
secure?
Are we going to shoot two endings?
Confetti cannon. The one where
You two win and one where I won.
No point. No point. We can put it to public vote though. Oh, we can do a poll during the thing. Oh, can we do it? Do we have the technology?
That seems unfair.
About what? Just who is the best?
No! About block easiest way to the 100K. Oh, I just got a name for the poll as well.
Easiest
that's,
way to the
100K.
That's a good thing.
Thank you. Okay. All right. We'll finish on a high. We're just $100,000 richer. Thank you very much. And goodbye, good evening, good morning, goodbye.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.